Blog Talk Radio.
Nowhere in the New Testament does Yah speak to anyone at any time.
hold days in hand.
Hallelujah. 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 Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Welcome to another beautiful broadcast of Nothing But the Truth. I am Moray Isha Yisrael from the House of Israel, located at 1907 Vine Street, here to bring nothing but the truth. And we're bringing the truth. And who is this Yah? Yahweh is the creator of the heaven, earth, and sea, and all that therein is. Yahweh is the only judge, the only lawgiver, the only king, and the only savior, and the only redeemer and savior of Israel and the world. Yahweh is the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Yahweh is the one that has raised us up to bring you his words of truth. And that's what we will do. And we also like to say shalom to everyone that is tuned in our listening audience. But we know that the only reason you have tuned into our program is because of your great fear and great love towards the mighty Yah. And tonight, we are going to deal with Proverbs, the 21st chapter, the 30th verse. And tonight we're also going to, for the last couple of weeks, we've been dealing heavily in scripture definitions. And it might have given you a different idea of the Book of the Most High. You might have seen things that you never seen before, heard things that you never heard before. And if you have any questions about the word of Yahweh, then tonight we'll take your questions. Just put your questions in on our YouTube chat line. Our YouTube page is youtube.com/HOYCincinnati. And I'll be able to see your questions and answer your questions. You can also text 513-237-5911. But the best way to get questions to us, to Y Cincinnati, right there in our chat box, to the right of your screen, or to the bottom of the screen, depending on which device you're using, you can type in your questions. And today, or tonight, we're going to deal with Proverbs 21, verse 30. In Proverbs, the 21st chapter, the 30th verse reads, "There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against Yahweh." I'll say that one more time. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against Yahweh. And what does this mean? It really means that there's not any wisdom that one can bring that can compete with Yah, that can be wiser than the word of the Creator, that can bring us more vision, more light than the word of the Creator. There is no wise man out there, no geniuses out there, no Stephen Hawking's and Albert Einstein's and no sages in existence against Yahweh. They're not smarter. They're not wiser. They don't have more vision. They don't have any the wisdom of the Most High. No understanding. You can't get more understanding from anywhere except from Yahweh. Nor is there any better counsel against the Most High. No one can give you better counsel. No psychologist, no therapist, no counselor can give you better counsel than the Creator. And we do have a question in our YouTube chat line. It says, where did you all get the name Yahweh from? Very good question. To show you where we got the name Yahweh from, all you have to do is the book of Exodus, the third chapter. In Exodus, the third chapter, it reads in verse 12, and he said, certainly I will be with you, and this shall be spoken unto you, that I have sent you. When you have brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve Elohim upon this mountain. And Moses said unto Elohim, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, I shall say unto them, the Elohim of your fathers has sent me is his name. And they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And Elohim said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. And Elohim said moreover unto Moses, you shall say to the children of Israel, Yahweh. I know in many of your books, it reads Lord, has been inserted in the book. The name of Yahweh is not a title, it is the name, the identifying property of who you're dealing with. A name, not just a title. And his name is Yahweh. That's what it says in Hebrew. See, they didn't just mistransliterate. They gave you a completely different word altogether. Word Lord is not in the original language, the Hebrew language. No, it says Yahweh. Some people say, well, didn't he just say I am that I am? And in Hebrew he said Yah Ashar Ayah. But what's the difference between a Yah and Yahweh? The simple difference is when Moses said Yah, Yah spoke right back to Moses in the first person. And he said, I will be, or I am who I am. That's what he said. And he said, but you tell the people, Yahweh, the Elohim of your fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Isaac, the Elohim of Yaakov has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. So why Yahweh and not a Yah? Well, because Yahweh, you're saying he will be, or he is who he is, or he exists of the Creator, and you are not the Creator. It's just a simple grammatical variation of his name. Simply, you would never say, somebody asks me my name, I say, I am Isha. Then if somebody asks you, who is that? You say, he is Isha. Instead of saying, I am Isha, of course, you're not me. Therefore, you don't say I. And it's the same situation. Why we say Yahweh instead of a Yah. Furthermore, in the book of Psalms, the 68th chapter, the name of the Creator. In Psalm 68, verse 4 reads, sing unto Elohim, sing praises to his name, that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Yah, and rejoice before him. I know many of your books might say Jah with a J, and some of them has took that out altogether. It just says L-O-R-D again. But extol him by his name, Yah. What is it? Is it a Yah? Is it Yahweh? Or is it Yah? It's all of those. It's all of those. Simply means to exist. Even in the book of Isaiah, the 12th chapter. In Isaiah chapter 12, in Isaiah chapter 12, in verse 2, it says, behold, Elohim is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yahweh is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. I know many of your books might say Lord and Jehovah, but that's not his name. If you get you a Hebrew Bible, the Hebrew will simply read Yahweh. Some English versions have put Yahweh in it, restored it, as a matter of fact. And many of your versions just say Lord and God. The person that asked the question said, it don't say Yahweh nowhere. I want to know, where is that name, the actual name? Well, I've been showing you the actual name. It's just, as I stated, many of your books say Lord in God. Yah's name is not Lord, nor is Yah's name God. Yahweh is not named Jehovah, nor is he named Jehovah. It's Yahweh. This is his name forever, and his memorial unto all generations. Yahweh is a Hebrew word. And no names should be translated, no names should be replaced, because a name is a personal identifier. You can't take me to Greece and they start calling me Johnny. No, in Greece, they would just call me Isha. They would call you whatever your name is. If you go to Japan, they're not going to all of a sudden call you Fung-chan. No, you're going to be Sarah, Michael, Isha. That's what they'll call you if that's your name. They won't change it. It's a universal rule in language. You don't replace somebody's name. It's the name that belongs to them. So when you're King James Version and your Septuagints and all the other books, take out Yahweh and put Lord and God, they're simply taking out his name. So if you want to see it, go and get you a proper name of the Holy Scriptures book, or look at the Hebrew, and it'll say it right there, Yod, Hey, Wah, Hey, Yahweh. But of course, you'll see Lord and God in English in many of your books. Nevertheless, we know his name. His name is Yahweh. And as it says in Proverbs 21, verse 30, there is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against Yahweh. None. In the book of Deuteronomy, and again, we're taking your questions tonight. We're taking your questions tonight. We've dealt with many scripture definitions over the past couple of weeks. We've dealt with some various controversial topics, and you might have heard something you never heard before. You might have learned something you never learned before. And so, therefore, send in your questions on our YouTube channel, youtube.com, HOY Cincinnati. Screen right here, and I can see the questions as they come through. In the book of Deuteronomy, the sixth chapter, it says in the fourth verse, Shema, Yisrael, or hear, O Israel. Yah, Eloheinu, or Yahweh, our Elohim, is one Yah. Which means what? You can't have his name be Lord if he's one Lord. Then why is everybody else Lord this, Lord here, Lord there? How many lords do they got in England? All these lords. And so therefore, you know his name ain't Lord. Lord means master. Lord does not mean what it says here in Jeremiah, the second chapter. Or just go to Deuteronomy then. First chapter. We have another question. We're going to get to that question right after this scripture. Deuteronomy 31st chapter, verse 20 reads, or 30th chapter, excuse me. Verse 20. That thou mayest, and I'll start in verse 19. I call heaven and earth, cord the day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love Yahweh. What Lord are you going to love if his name is Lord? Which Lord? Yahweh is one. He said that you shall love Yahweh, your Elohim, and that you may obey his voice, and that you may cleave unto him, for he is thy life. That's why his name is Yahweh. He is existence. He is your life. That's what his name means. In the length of your days, this is who Yahweh is. He's your life. And you can't have Lord be your life in Jehovah, because that's a fake name. Jah, because that's a fake name. And Jehovah, because that's a fake name. These aren't the names of the Most High, but the name of Yah is Yahweh. And this is how he came to us in his name. And this is how he revealed unto us his wisdom by this name, Yahweh. And that's why we're dealing with Proverbs 21:30. There is no wisdom, nor counsel, nor understanding, or there is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against Yahweh. And we are up for the challenge to see if there is any wisdom, counsel, or understanding against the name of the Creator, in which he's revealed unto us all of this wisdom and understanding and counsel by the name Yahweh. If you got another name that has more wisdom, that has more counsel, that has more understanding, then by all means, present the name, present the wisdom, present the understanding, present the counsel. Next question we have. What is the best law or testimony to show in a matter of controversy where there are no witnesses? Can any manner of work of Yah's work be established outside of his book? Oh, those are two questions. Okay. What is the best law or testimony to show in a matter of controversy where there are no witnesses? Number one. Number two, can any manner of Yah's work be established outside of his book? Very good question. What is the best law or testimony to show in a matter of controversy where there are no witnesses? There are two different places in the law that, well, I'll show you, there's three places. I'll show you three places in the Word of Yah of how you're to establish a matter where there are no witnesses. The first one will be in the book of, get the right scripture. Let me start with two. And when I find this other scripture, maybe we'll deal with three. But let me show you two. That one might not be as clear. I want it to be. No, I found it. Yes. Let's go to Deuteronomy, the 21st chapter. We got another question. We'll get to it. The first Deuteronomy, 21st chapter. Verse 1 says, If one be found slain in the land which Yahweh the Elohim giveth thee to possess, lying in the field, and it be not known who has slain him, then your elders and your judges shall come forth and shall measure unto the cities where are round about him that is slain. And it shall be that the city which is next to the slain man, even the elders of that city shall take an heifer, which hath not been wrought with, worked with, meaning, and which hath not drawn any in the yoke, meaning it's pure, hasn't had any work. And the elders of that city shall bring down the heifer unto a rough valley which is neither eared nor sown, and shall strike off the heifer's neck there in the valley. And the priests, the sons of Levi, shall come near for them Yahweh the Elohim have chosen to minister unto him, and to bless the name of Yah, and by their words shall every controversy and every stroke be tried. And all the elders of the city that are next to the slain man shall wash their hands over the heifer that is beheaded in the valley. And they shall answer and say, our hands have not shed this blood, neither have our eyes seen it. Be merciful unto us, O Yahweh, unto thy people Israel, whom thou hast redeemed, and lay not innocent blood unto thy people of Israel's charge, and the blood shall be forgiven them. So shall you put away the guilt of innocent blood from among you when you shall do that which is right in the sight of Yah. So essentially, they got to swear. They got to let Yahweh know, we don't know about this at all. There's no witnesses. And so now they're clean from the matter. And if any one of them be found lying, Yahweh, he'll get them. That's the whole reason of invoking the name of Yah, because he lives. He exists. He's existing. And once you invoke his name, now you're dealing with life. So this is one opportunity or way that you establish that. Then you have another matter in the book of Numbers. Fifth chapter, start reading verse 12, where it says, speak unto the children of Israel, Numbers the fifth chapter, verse 12. Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, if any man's wife go aside and commit a trespass against him, and a man lie with her carnally, and be hid from the eyes of her husband, and be kept close, and she be defiled, and there be no witness against her, neither she be taken with the manner, and the spirit of jealousy come upon him, and he be jealous of his wife, and she be defiled, or the spirit of jealousy come upon him, and he be jealous of his wife, and she be not defiled. Then shall the man bring his wife unto the priest, and he shall bring her offering for her, the tenth part of an ephah of barley meal. He shall pour no oil on it, nor put frankincense thereon, for it is an offering of jealousy, an offering of memorial, bring iniquity to remembrance. And the priest shall bring her near and set her before Yah. And the priest shall take holy water in an earthen vessel, in the dust that is on the floor of the tabernacle, the priest shall take and put it in the water. And the priest shall set the woman before Yah and uncover the woman's head and put forth an offering of memorial in her hands, which is the jealousy offering. And the priest shall have in his hand the bitter water that causes a curse. And essentially, what happens is the woman, the water, and swears before Yah that she didn't go aside of her husband. And if she's telling the truth, then he becomes very fertile. But if she's lying, her stomach will swell and her thigh will rot. And why? Because you invoked Yahweh. And now that he who exists, life is against you or with you. Life will go against you because Yahweh is life. Or life, because Yahweh is life, will be with you. And so therefore, you don't have any witnesses? Just have them swear before Yah. Have them commit themselves before Most High. That's why the priest was there to judge the situation. But you can also, finally, last scripture on this matter, look in the book of Kings. 1 Kings. In the book of 1 Kings, 3rd chapter, start reading verse 16. Then there came two women that were harlots unto the king, and this is Solomon, stood before him, And one woman said, "Oh, my master." In your book, you say, "Oh, my Lord." Is this talking about Yahweh? No, it's talking about a master, a nobleman, a king. "Oh, my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child and with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also. And we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night, because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight, and took my son beside me, while thy handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, her dead child in my bosom. And when I arose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. And the other woman said, Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Then said the king, The one saith, This is my son that liveth, and thy son is the dead. And the other said, Nay, but thy son is the dead, and my son is the living. And the king said, Bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king divided the living child in two, and gave half to the one, and the half to the other. Then spake the woman, whose the living child was, unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son, and said, O my master, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. All Israel heard the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw the wisdom of Elohim was in him to do judgment. And how? And why? Because Solomon, using Yah's wisdom, knew that the one who the child belonged to that was alive would rather see the child live with someone else than to die and be split in two. No. Because he used Yah's wisdom, which is what? Life. It pertaineth to life. Why? Because he's Yahweh, and Yahweh is life. And he knew that life is going to want to exist, because Yahweh is all about life. This woman who was the mother, knew, like, oh, no, he got to live. I'll find another way. He going to live, though. I'm going to find another way. He got to live. So you know that's the mother. But the other one's like, kill him. You know, she's mad already. My son just died. Kill him, too. Yeah, let us both be messed up. Misery love company. And so the wisdom was used through judgment. He knew this woman is going to be for life if this is her son. And so the truth was exposed through wisdom, because there's no wisdom, no counsel, no understanding against Yahweh. And this is ways you establish a matter through wisdom. You have them life. Does life verify what you're doing? And life is Yahweh. In these instances, it was all about invoking Yahweh and testing to see who was for life and who was for death. Because why? If you bring forth a false witness, your punishment can be death. So let's not do those things. Then, Can any matter of Yah's work be established outside of his book? Can any manner of Yah's work be established outside of his book? Cannot be established outside of Yah's book. Because everything Yahweh did is in his book. So, for instance, somebody say, well, yeah, you can establish something outside of Yah's book. Look here. It's the truth that deers mate with deers. That's the truth. Let me show you. Let's go watch National Geographic. Let's go to the wildlife reserve. Let's do this and let's do that. See how deers mate with their own kind? Well, yeah, but that's established in the book of Yah. Where is that established in the book of Yah? In the book of Genesis. The first chapter. In Genesis, the first chapter, the 24th verse says, let the earth bring forth living creature after his kind, cattle, and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. So you can't prove to me that beast made after their own kind because you done seen it somewhere else. But that's what Yahweh said. And it's established in his book. Well, yeah, well, I could show you something to be established outside of Yah's book. Well, show me. What can be established outside of Yah's book? Planets. There are planets in the sky. There are planets in the heavens. And you don't see nothing about planets in the book of Yahweh. None about Orion's belt in the book of Yahweh. Look at this star constellation. You don't see that in Yah's book. What's that about? Well, it is established in the book of the Most High. Everything that Yahweh did is in his book. And look, the name Orion, that comes from a heathen. That's not what Yahweh called it, but even nevertheless, look in the book of Amos, verse 8. Seek him that maketh the seven stars and Orion. That's a star constellation. That's a star constellation. In Hebrew, the word is not Orion, it's Kessiel. What does Kessiel mean? It's just a simple star constellation. The root word of Kessiel means silly. It's just some silly constellation. But it's a wondrous one. It's a pretty one. It's something that people look at. Look at that. Look at those seven stars. There's a star there, and three stars there, and a star there, and a star there. And the Hebrews said it looked like a belt buckle. The Hebrews just called it a constellation. But it's Yahweh that made it. Yahweh made that. So even the most notable star constellation in the heavens, the Most High talk about it. He told you to seek him that made that. Don't seek the stars, but seek him that made it. What about the planets? Are the planets in the scriptures, or do we got to listen to NASA and to see what NASA says about planets? Well, in the book of 2 Kings, the 23rd chapter, you'll see what it says planets are truly. Because everything that Yahweh has done is in his book. And I'm just choosing things like this because some people believe that, oh, they got one up on the Most High. You don't talk about the stars and the planets. Talk about the mating of animals. He don't talk about eating properly. Oh, yes, he does. All of these things. In 2 Kings, the 23rd chapter, the 5th verse reads, "And he put down the idolatrous priest, whom the kings of Yehuda had ordained to burn incense in the high places, in the cities of Yehuda, and in the places round about Jerusalem. Them also that burn incense unto the deity, to the sun, and to the moon, and to the planets, and to all the host of heaven." What are the planets? Well, the planets are whatever you want to call them. Here is really, planets are just another word for stars. Because these heathens ain't never been to these so-called planets anyway. They're just lights in the sky. And what are the stars? Lights. Whether the planets are lights or whether the planets are actual terrain bodies, celestial, earthly bodies, they light until you could go up there and say they're different. And Yahweh ain't a liar. So even if you get there, you still going to be dealing with lights. They trying to fly satellites to the sun right now. Why? To discover its light. It's still light. That's how you know they really didn't go to the moon. They landed on the moon and it was dark. Well, that's a complete contradiction to the word of Yah, who spoke about the moon before they even knew what the moon was. Heathens used to think the moon was cheese. That's what they teach kids. So everything Yahweh did, not only is in his book, but that's the only way when it comes to dealing with Yah's work, to look in his book. Why else does it say, "Seek ye out of the book of Yah and read, and not one of these shall fail. Not one shall want his mate." Because Yahweh gathered these things, these books. And what books are those? The 39 books of the Holy Scriptures. But then we have another question. Shalom. I want to know, how do you know that Saturday is the Shabbat day? Because Saturday is not mentioned in the Scriptures. You're absolutely right. Saturday, nor Sunday, nor Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, or Friday is mentioned in the Scriptures, period. But what is mentioned in the Scriptures? It's in the book of Genesis. And then, what are we discussing? We're taking your questions because what we're discussing is there is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against Yahweh. So whatever you've been taught, whatever you've been taught, that is not in the book of the Most High, I guarantee you it can't hold any candle to the wisdom of Yah. Whatever math class you've been taught can't figure out Yah's math. Whatever science you've been taught can't figure out Yah's science. Whatever counsel you've been taught is nothing compared to Yah's counsel. So why do we say Saturday is the Shabbat? Well, truthfully, the heathen said that the Shabbat is Saturday. We're not saying Saturday is the Shabbat day. The heathen said Shabbat is Saturday. Well, what do you mean? Meaning, it was never called Saturday until a few people came around and started changing times and laws. What did Yahweh call the Shabbat in Genesis? Let's start at Genesis, the first chapter. Now, see, we have another question. We're going to get to you. In Genesis, the first chapter, and I want to give you a small synopsis or a quick synopsis. In the 5th verse, it says, "And Elohim called the light day, and the darkness he called night, in the evening and in the morning were the first day. So the first day was established. Then in the eighth verse, Elohim called the firmament in heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Second day. 13th verse, and the evening and morning were the third day. Third day. 19th verse, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. 23rd verse, and the evening and the morning were the fifth day. 31st verse, and Elohim saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Then second chapter of Genesis reads, first verse, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them, and on the seventh day, Elohim ended his work, which he had made, and he rested. And he rested from all his work which Elohim created and made. So why do we call it the Shabbat? Because that's what Yahweh called it. First of seven in Hebrew is Shabbat. Then the word rest is Shabbat. And then in the book of Genesis, or Exodus, chapter 20, verse 8 reads, 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day, look what it says. Verse 8. Remember the Shabbat day. Well, what is the Shabbat day? 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. So why? Because the first, the second, the third, the fourth, fifth, and the sixth, these days Yahweh did work. But the seventh day, he rested. Now, why do we call it Saturday? We don't call it Saturday if you're a Hebrew. We call it the Shabbat day. No, it's not in the scriptures, nor is any other day of the week that the heathens have named in the scriptures. But you know that they follow the same schedule that the Creator laid out. Even in the Spanish language, they'll call Monday lunes. They'll call Tuesday, they'll call, I don't know. They number the days, tres, sábado. In Latin, they call it sábado. Well, what's sábado? It's the Sabbath. They numbered every other day, and then they called it Saturday, sábado. In various languages, they call the seventh day Shabbat. Yahweh called it the Shabbat. The heathens decided to call it Saturday, even though it's still the seventh day. So no, Saturday's not in the scriptures. But we know the seventh day is the Shabbat day. And the seventh day is not Sunday or the first day. The seventh day is the last day of the week, Shabbat day. So that's why we call it the Shabbat. The heathens gave the Shabbat day a different name. They called it Saturday. We don't call it Saturday. Commonly, the Hebrews call it what Yahweh called it, the Shabbat day, because it's a holy day. You call it Saturday, you're taking away the holy name from it. But we don't call it that. It's the Shabbat. And no, Sunday through Saturday is not mentioned in the scriptures. But the first day through the Shabbat day is, and that's what we commonly call it. The next question we have, Shalom, brother. Yahweh said, no man can see him and live. For why did it say that Yahweh spoke to Moses face to face as a friend in Exodus 33, verse 11? Did Moses see Yahweh's face? Good question. Commonly confused statements. And one reason this becomes a confusion is because the New Testament lied. That's right. It lied through its stinking teeth. The Testament has Christ saying, no man has seen God at any time. Yeah, that's what it says in the book of St. John.
just to show you, this is why you even have this confusion. Because the precepts of men have taught us the fear of Yah. And in St. John, what is that at there? If no man has seen the Father in years. No, St. John, we gotta get the exact verse. And that is in St. John. It says, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. So, you see, this is a lie. No man has seen Elohim at any time. This is a straight-up lie. So then, we're trying to figure out, why does it say that Moses saw him? This, that, and the third. Well, in the book of Exodus, let's go there. Let's see if the New Testament got better wisdom. In that book of Exodus, the 33rd chapter, verse 11 reads, and Yahweh spoke unto Moses face to face, as a man speaks unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And let's get down to it. And then in verse 17, and Yahweh said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken. Thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. This is what Moses wanted to see. See, in Numbers, the 12th chapter, Yahweh said, why weren't you afraid to speak against my servant Moses? For if there's a prophet, I will make myself known to him in a vision or in a dream. But my servant Moses is not so. For he is the most meekest in my house. I shall speak with him face to face. And the similitude of Yahweh shall he behold. Now, what is the similitude of Yahweh? That means his image, what he looks like. But Yahweh said he made man in his own image and after his likeness. So he let Moses see this image. But he didn't let Moses see his glory. And he says, let me see your glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. And I will proclaim the name of Yahweh before thee. And will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou cannot see my face. Why? Because this is where his glory come from. For this shall no man see me and live. If you see Yahweh in all his glory, because that's what Moses asked for, you're going to die. And Yahweh said, behold, there's a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon the rock. And that shall come to pass, while my glory pass by, that I will put thee in a cliff of a rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen, because his glory comes from his face. And Yah and Moses asked to see the glory. He didn't ask to see what it looked like. He just asked to see the glory. He knew what Yah looked like. He talked to Yah face to face. But he wanted to see the glory. Moses understood that Yahweh was just showing him the similitude. but he wasn't showing him the glory. And that's why you can't see his face and live. No man can see this glory. You can't even stare at the sun and have good eyesight after, let alone look directly at the face of all of Yah's glory. No, it's not going down. Not at all. How you know the New Testament is lying? There's no wisdom. There's no understanding. There's no knowledge against Yahweh. Look here. In the book of Genesis, the 18th chapter, they said no man has ever seen God and live. Well, didn't they call Christ God? Talking to him? Well, then you know they're lying. In Genesis, the 18th chapter. And again, we are discussing Proverbs 21, verse 30. There's no wisdom, no understanding, nor counsel against Yahweh. So whatever wisdom you've learned, whatever counsel someone has given you, whatever understanding you've acquired, if it hasn't came from Yahweh, then you might want to check that. Because Yahweh's wisdom, understanding, and counsel is far above anything you ever learned. In the book of Genesis, the 18th chapter, and Yahweh appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. This is Abraham sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. And he said, my master, if I now have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and will comfort ye your hearts. After that you shall pass on. For therefore you are come to your servant. And they said, so do, and as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the hearth, and fetched the calf, tender and good, and gave it to the young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took in milk and the calf, which he had dressed, and set it before them, and stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Who's they? Yahweh and the 2 angels that was with him. They ate the food that Abraham and Sarah prepared. So you know Abraham and Sarah had to be the most special people on the face of the earth. That Yahweh, who said, if I were hungry, I would not tell thee. Cattle upon 1,000 hills belong to me. The whole earth belongs to me. You don't need to eat what you cooking. Abraham and Sarah were that special that they said, yeah, we're going to eat what you make. That's why black women cook so good. Because Sarah's your mama. And she cooked for the Most High and his angels. Why you think black women cook so good? Because you got the only woman on the planet that ever made food for the Almighty. So see, said he took butter and milk in the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And he and they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. He said, and he said, not they. Because for a time they was all speaking, talking, conversing. But when Yahweh was ready to let him know what was going on, and he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my master being old also? And Yahweh said unto Abraham, Not only did Abraham talk to Yahweh and prepared food for Yahweh, he obviously saw him. Saw him, talked to him, washed his feet, made him food. Sit with him in the afternoon. What's the New Testament talking about? No man has seen Elohim at any time. That's a bold face lie. Yahweh, he spoke with Abraham. He said, And Yahweh said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child, which am old? Is anything too hard for Yahweh? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. So yes, somebody, multiple people, as a matter of fact, have seen Yahweh and lived. It's just you can't see his glory. Like I said, we are taking questions. We have a few minutes left in our program this night. And we've been taking your questions, and we appreciate the various questions that have been sent through already. Very good, thought-provoking, stimulating questions. And if you have any last questions before we close out in the next few minutes, we'll gladly field your questions and try to answer them as precise and concise as possible. Here we go. It states here, Shalom, praise Yahweh. In Leviticus 27, verses 1 through 8, will you explain what this vow is pertaining to and estimations? And in verse 14 and 16, what is the purpose for sanctifying his house and field? Good question. Leviticus 27. One of my favorite chapters, because it's very revealing to how Yahweh valued certain things. In Leviticus 27, chapter, the first verse reads, And Yahweh spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and then say unto them, When a man shall make a singular vow, the persons shall be for Yahweh by thy estimation. And thy estimation shall be of a male from 20 years old, even unto 60 years old. Even thy estimation shall be 50 shekels of silver after the shekel of the sanctuary. So what is this saying? When they make a vow, the person shall be for Yahweh by thy estimation, meaning you vow to basically give yourself to the Most High. Or, and by giving yourself, he's putting a value on what is how are you dedicating yourself? A lot of times people would dedicate themselves to the sanctuary, and they're called Nethinims. And they were servants of the sanctuary themselves to the sanctuary. And to redeem them, or to redeem this, or just instead of giving yourself, you would just give forth some silver or some money of value. And this is what they're estimated as being. So for the persons shall be for Yahweh by your estimation. And thy estimation shall be of the male from 20 years old even unto 60 years old. Even thy estimation shall be 50 shekels of silver after the shekel of the sanctuary. So that's where the value came. That's if the sanctuary, what the sanctuary called 50 shekels, that's how you gave it. And for somebody between 20 and 60 years old, you had 50 shekels. And they're the most expensive because they're grown men. They do the most work at them ages. And if it be a female, then our estimation shall be 30 shekels. And if it be from 5 years old, even unto 20 years old, then our estimation shall be of the male 20 shekels, and for the female 10 shekels. And if it be from a month old at even unto 5 years old, then our estimation shall be a male 5 shekels of silver, and for a female thy estimation shall be 3 shekels of silver. And if it be from 60 years old and above, and if it be a male, thy estimation shall be 15 shekels, and for the female 10 shekels. But if he be poorer than thy estimation, then he shall present himself before the priest, and the priest shall value him according to his ability. That vow shall the priest value him. Why? Because he's doing some work for the sanctuary. He's dedicating himself. And in order to instead dedicate yourself, you value, well, how much is it? How much are we going to get for this? Instead of getting you, how much are we going to get for it? And this was what it was broken down at. And then in verse 14, it says, and when a man shall sanctify his house to be holy unto Yahweh, meaning he's giving his house to Yahweh. And who's this house going to go to? It's going to go to the Levites, because that's who reaped all the resources that was given unto Yah. That's the law. The things that you offer the Most High, they were given to the Levites, unless they were all burnt offerings, things in that manner. But this house is to be holy unto Yahweh. Then the priest shall estimate it, whether it be good or bad. As the priest shall estimate it, so shall it stand. So you would sanctify it, and you would give this house unto the sanctuary or to the priest. And in verse 16, and if a man shall sanctify unto Yahweh some part of his field of his possession, then thy estimation shall be according to the seed thereof. A homer of barley seed shall be valued at 50 shekels of silver. So it's also, if you're giving your field unto the sanctuary, is dedicated unto Yah, the Levites will take use of it. But this verse, you'll see how money is valued. He said that the field is valued by the seed. A homer of barley seed is worth 50 shekels. And that's letting you know that the silver, the shekels, was based in the seed, because the word gebra or jebra means seed, and jebras, 20 jebras equals the one shekel. This was based in the seed. All shekels had value in real things, people, in seed, in real things, not Federal Reserve notes, IOUs. So these is how those things break down, and that's what they're for. Hallelujah. And we've taken your questions this night to show you that there is no wisdom, no understanding nor counsel against Yahweh. Whatever you've been taught, whatever you've been trained in, if it's not from the standing of Yah, then there's flaws. But Yahweh is flawless, and Yahweh wants you to seek ye out the book of Yah and read, because not one of these shall fail, nor any of them lack her mate, for Yahweh has commanded them, and his spirit has gathered them. Hallelujah. And until tomorrow, Yahweh loves you very much, and so do we. Shalom.
Receive a blessing only through you, yeah.